Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
I mean, we're seeing the outcry. Here it is, the first domino.
I feel like people are like, oh, there's going to be more of these or whatever. They're like, citing COVID.
No.
They moved to an independent status this year.
You don't have any opponents.
Which makes it tough. They're not aligned with the conference.
Yeah.
And you know, back in the Big East, you know, for basketball, and then independent for football, they couldn't make a schedule. It's really the real reason.
Well, that's what it is. Like, nobody's playing independence this year.
Or if you were able to find, you probably play on the road. I mean, yeah, it's... You were going to have to fabricate something together or just not play.
And at the end of the day, when you don't have opponents...
Feels like not playing.
You're not playing.
Meanwhile, the Big Ten put out its schedule today.
Yeah. You guys, Iowa, you're
moving
playing
forward.
M in the first week. Then you have P. Then you have another M. Then two N's back-to-back
and
an I.
Oh, boy.
And then you have a blank game. And then you have a lion. And then like a Spartan-looking thing. And then you have a blank. And then you have a W. And then you have an O. So that's the schedule for
good.
Iowa.
That's good. Thanks. Thanks for getting that to me.
Nebraska will open with an R, and then they will have an
maybe.
I, and then a maybe.
Is the R going to play?
The R may not be playing.
The R is a mess.
The R is a disaster.
Yeah.
The R had a couple of COVID cases. They quarantined everybody, and then it exploded into many more COVID cases because the R can't keep themselves out of the parties in NJ. And so, yeah, just looking around at the Big Ten schedule,
they're playing
it is
a lot of letters.
A lot of letters on that schedule. Yeah, well, what do they call them? The American universities where they all have the good grades. What remember when Nebraska was part of that?
The AAU or something, wasn't it?
Something like that. Yeah, something like that.
Really?
They're smarter than all of us.
Right. Yeah. They were affiliated. They could go to that conference because they had a good academic ranking or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're not a letter. You're like a bird face is what you guys are up there in Iowa.
I guess so, yes. So the Big Ten's going to start playing September 3rd through the 5th.
There you go.
So they're not waiting till mid to late September. They're going to play their opening games.
Get them going.
The weekend of that, they're going to play two Thursday games, a Thursday game, a Friday game, I should say, and then Saturday of that weekend. So they're going.
Mm-hmm. That's
and their league championship game is slated for December 5th. So it's kind of the same, except for no non-con. I mean, really, right?
It is, yeah. It is. And you get two bye weeks.
In terms of scheduling. And
10 games in 12 weeks.
Two bye weeks, and then they have an open week Thanksgiving weekend.
Mm-hmm. And then they have the Big Ten championship
game. In case there was some flex there, they would need to move. Okay. Big 12 is expected to have its schedule out soon.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess look for it to be in that same neighborhood. They were talking about mid to late September to start conference play and then have the one non-conference game before that. So kind of lines up with what the Big Ten's looking at. So everybody's kind of in the same boat.
And then you got Connecticut going, come on, somebody play us.
Coronavirus.
Coronavirus, yeah. We're not playing because of coronavirus.
We're out.
Well, yeah, coronavirus is obviously part of the reason why. But the big part of the reason why is because nobody's playing a non-conference schedule this year. And when you're an independent, that takes away all of your games. And so a school like UConn just isn't going to get games this year because of the way everybody has scaled back their schedule. So, yes, it is a product of coronavirus. But if UConn was in a conference that was playing, they would be playing football this year.
Yes.
What conference have they been in?
American.
In the American Conference. Are they playing this year? Do we know?
I don't think they've canceled yet.
Okay.
But... are they going to welcome them back after they said they were leaving?
I don't know. Probably not.
Probably not.
So UConn is done for the year. That's all right.
Yeah. So,
but this is where the facts get in the way of a great tweet and a great headline too. Oh, UConn, victim of coronavirus, won't be playing.
I'm seeing all kinds of, well, this won't be the last. Well, they extraneous circumstances. They didn't align with the conference like Notre Dame,
right?
And got all their games filled,
right?
So yeah, it wasn't going to be feeling unless they would drop down a level for this year. Well, who'd want to do that? They'd just be like, we'll just regroup and play next year.
It's probably easier that way.
So anyway, UConn. UConn not playing college
not
football,
playing,
so
no.
You will not be able to bet on.
They
UConn
will be
games.
Playing basketball, however, I'm
yes,
sure.
For sure. For sure. Hey, it wasn't just us that were raving. We were raving yesterday about Josh Domont's inning. And
you were like, ugh, really into this guy.
His inning the other night against the Cubs was like just blazing fastballs and then a breaking ball that was off the table and struck out the side is one inning. They ended up losing the game, so it was kind of a footnote. But we weren't the only ones impressed. This was the Cubs broadcast on Marquee.
99 on that first fastball.
Yeah.
Yee. Hey. This is nasty. Man, what I wouldn't give to have a man bun and a 99 mile an hour fastball. Wow, that's a combo right there, baby. I'm so jealous. I mean, that is straight butter over the top to the bottom of the knees at 99. That's
unfair. Makes me very happy to be retired.
Mark Grace there at the end makes me very happy to be retired. Then CBS Sports wrote a little piece about it as well, and it was Josh Domont, the Royals' hidden bullpen gem, might have the best stuff in baseball.
Like, yeah.
Wow.
Whoa, okay.
One scout said, stuff-wise, I'm not sure I've seen better. Another scout was quoted in this article by CBS Sports saying, that's as impressive an inning as I've seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
In striking out the side in Chicago.
Baez, Contreras, and Schwarber. It wasn't like he struck out you, right. Me, and Kramer. Okay. Right. He struck out the meat of that lineup.
Pitch by pitch breakdown via the Baseball Savant. Let us get geeky for a second, okay?
All right.
Javier Baez saw 98.6 mile an hour fastball.
That's the temperature you're supposed to be.
82.4 mile an hour curve.
So, boom, boom.
Yeah. And voom, then voom, three voom. More fastballs, 99.3, 98.5, 99.1. Not doing radio frequency dials, but close. But he was right at 99 for three more fastballs. Wilson Contreras saw 98.3 mile per hour fastball, 82.9 mile per hour curve, 81.5 mile per hour curve. Gave him the fastball,
nice.
Bit on the curve, like, let's try this one again. Kyle Schwarber saw fastball.
The
one
last
topping
fastball.
Out at 101.1.
101.1.
That was the one that missed. It was outside. And then got him with an 84 mile an hour curve.
Done. And the swing that Schwarbs had on that, too, was not good.
Yeah.
That looked like you and I swinging against a
fouled off
leader.
One pitch. That was it. No other pitch got touched. That was the three at-bats that Josh Domont threw the other night. Just ridiculous.
He struck out nine so far in five innings, nine strikeouts, two walks, a 1.80 ERA. He may make the All-Star team this year.
And then gives you confidence as well if I don't want to – I'm not going there. I don't want to go there yet. If you make a move out of your bullpen, it ain't going to be him.
No.
But if you move from somebody else in your bullpen, who do you push in there? This
well,
kid.
Let's think about this for a second, okay? I'm going to write down two names. You guys can't see them.
Okay?
But they're not going to be here next year.
Okay.
But you've already have their replacements, I think, right now in the bullpen, okay?
Okay.
Kennedy and Rosenthal. You know, you're looking at those as your 7, 8, 9 in some form, you know, closing out two of the final three innings.
Sure.
What are we going to do? Oh, my gosh, you lose your closer, you lose your setup man in 1 year. You've got Zuber and Stamont ready to go.
Yep.
I mean, and that's why when you look at this season and you think, boy, 3-9, that really bites the big one. And it does. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat being six games under 500 right now in this shortened season. It's not good. They've been stressing wins are important and wins are what we're going for right now. But if you're not going to get the wins – and you're not going to, you know, make a run for the postseason, at least have guys on your roster that we can look at and go, wow, the future is really bright. And I think the Royals have a lot of those guys, especially in the pitching side of things, not just from a starting standpoint, but could you imagine next year going with a rotation of Singer and Bubich, just those two guys at the top of your rotation, two guys that you drafted, two first round type of draft picks that are at the top of your rotation next year. And then the back end of your bullpen, whether it's 8-9 or 9-8, however you want to look at it, with Zuber and Stamont going for you with what they've shown already in this shortened season, you're looking at the eighth and ninth inning next year and going, okay, we got two aces right now that can get us through at least six in a normal season, maybe even into the seventh, and then we can turn it over to Zuber and Stamont. How about ZS at the back of your bullpen or SZ at the back of your bullpen? Because both of those guys right now are pitching better than we've seen. Maybe even Holland, and maybe not quite Wade Davis-type numbers, but Josh Stamont did what he did the other night. That was a Wade Davis-type of outing.
Yes, I mean,
that was a Wade Davis-type of outing. And I know I'm, you know, hyperbolic at
times. Didn't have the leverage of it, I get it.
No, but, no leverage, no fans, no nothing like
that.
The dominance of it. The dominance was like, wow, I have not seen that type of dominance out of this bullpen since Wade Davis. So while the record isn't where we want it to be, there are still so many bright spots for this team right now, and bright spots on the pitching side that have probably been brighter than we'd ever seen before. And you know, the Wade Davis, that was a failed starter. You're looking at Josh Stamont, who's just going out there with a man bun and mowing people down. You're looking at Tyler Zuber.
The man bun does add to it.
Of course it does.
It adds to the mystique of it all.
And that's important, especially on the national level, because you're going to start getting attention because you got a guy throwing 101. Oh, and he has a man bun? Okay, let's go with this. Right?
Yes.
Okay, so it adds to it. And Zuber had one bad outing, but we've heard Zuber's name since the day we started to have Mike Matheny on this show. That's been a guy that he's talked about from day one with the Royals. And he's out there throwing heat and throwing nastiness out of that bullpen. Gets you excited to talk about those guys. Now start winning some games. Now convert some of these great performances into winning games. But if you can use this season as that internship type of season and get all that experience, and then next year, man, you could have a pitching staff that doesn't let anybody score.
I like it. I want to see more of it this year with him specifically, but I'm thinking, okay, the bullpen already was a strength, and this was a guy they were probably counting in, but I was just counting on the veteran guys that had showed it, not the newbies and how they would add into the mix as well. Really impressed with what they could put together in a bullpen.
Yeah.
Really, really good moving forward. Royals and Cubs again tonight. Again, Chris Bubich on the mound against Yu Darvish, 7:05 here on 610 Sports Radio, and Vern has pregame tonight at 6. Even a couple of newbies are big fans of Pat. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Andy Reid, Chiefs head coach, will join us coming up at 8:35 today for our sit-down chat with the Chiefs head coach, but even a couple of newbies, Bob, who haven't played with Patrick Mahomes, love Patrick Mahomes already.
Huh? Oh, my gosh. Who doesn't love Patrick Mahomes? We'll get more into Patrick Mahomes at about 8:50 with our doting on Mahomes, because there's a lot of doting that went on yesterday for Patrick Mahomes. I had a really fun day yesterday on the Zoom call with the Chiefs. Talked to Charvarius Ward and Kalichi Osemele on there as well. Washington was on there talking about playing with him at Texas Tech, as a running back in that system. And like people are still amazed, like, what the hell happened to Texas Tech? Like, you guys were like 6-7 every year. Like, you didn't win any games, right? DeAndre Washington, Patrick Mahomes. There's another wide receiver that they had drafted that's playing in the NFL right now, you know, coming from that team. So everybody on that Texas Tech team is looking at Patrick Mahomes right now and is like, oh, okay, this kid is really, really good. And Kalichi Osemele, who's been around the NFL for a while now, man, he's been on a Super Bowl team. He's been with the Raiders. He's been with the Jets. I feel bad for those last two stops that he had. But he's here in Kansas City now and was asked yesterday, man, like what was the reaction? What's the story like when you found out that KC was interested?
I was actually at the park with my girlfriend and got the call. It was somebody's birthday party. So I kind of like had to walk somewhere and get somewhere quiet. And I was pretty excited. I was fired up. I mean, obviously, like, the first thing I thought of was playing with Mahomes. And then I actually accidentally leaked his phone number because I had the Instagram or whatever. I did a video and it had his number out there, and I had to like take get down real quick. But I was so excited I didn't even think about it. Yeah, like I was pretty hyped. My agent called me, you know, and, you know, instantly the first thing I thought about was this is a really good team. We got a chance to win a championship. You know, I haven't won one in, I think it's been 8 seasons since my rookie year. So I thought immediately, like, this would be a beautiful way to, you know, kind of cap off a long NFL career. So those were all the thoughts that were going through my head.
So he's real excited, obviously, about coming to Kansas City, chance to win a championship, chance to play with Patrick Mahomes, and, of course, a chance to kind of, you know, get back to the Midwest. He played at Iowa State for his collegiate career, so he's very familiar with the area.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, now has an opportunity to come in here and be your starting left guard, Josh. I think he's going to be your starting left guard for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, a kid that played with him down at Texas Tech was a running back that the Chiefs signed that goes kind of, I think, really unnoticed more than anything, right? DeAndre Washington. How much are we really talking about him, right?
We are now.
But we weren't up until like this week.
No, I'm pre-Damian Williams opt-out. Not at all. If you can play occasionally, be like a third back, cool.
Okay, fine. But now I think, you know,
you might have an opportunity now to take on an increased role.
Yeah. So DeAndre was on the call yesterday, and I asked him, I said, did you think when you were playing at Texas Tech with Patrick Mahomes that he would be this good?
100%, man. It's a crazy thing, you know, kind of guys I joke with, you know, just from my hometown, is that, you know, his practice film is more scary than his game film, you know, when he's kind of just winging it and doing what he wanted to do, you know, on the practice field, he got some, you know, some pretty exciting plays. But, you know, he's just, you know, some guys, you know, you play with, he just kind of got the effect that he's one of those guys. There's a guy that he's able to make plays that, you know, most guys can't make. And, you know, he did that in high school. Did it in college, and he's still doing it now.
So DeAndre Washington, like, yeah, I knew this guy was going to be good. We watched him every day in practice, and he was doing things out there that you could not do, you could not ever see before. And, quite honestly, won't ever really see again. But that wasn't the only person he was talking about and getting excited about. We talked about Kalichi Osemele coming over from the Oakland Raiders. Well, DeAndre Washington played with him a year ago, and he was asked, what type of offensive lineman is this guy?
He's a dog, man. He's one of a kind, man. He's as a running back, he's one of those guys that you love running behind. He's going to make sure that he imposes his will on whoever's in line up in front of him. He's going to finish guys. You know, Kalichi is one of my, you know, favorite O-linemen I've ever played with.
So one of his favorite O-linemen, he's going to finish guys, and he's going to be a great guy to run behind. That's the type of offensive lineman you want.
I love finish.
Right? And so when you hear about the loss of Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and then you hear the glowing reviews that some of the replacement guys that are on this roster right now are getting, it makes you feel good that the Chiefs are going to be in really good hands along that offensive line, and I expect them really not to miss a beat. And as I said earlier, they could potentially be better, Josh, along that offensive line this year because they've added in some really nice pieces, some young pieces, and some guys that have some really good experience along the line in the National Football League. So I'm really excited about it, man. I think this offensive line is going to be really, really good, and this offense is just going to continue to impress us week in and week out.
Now, two players that would have come up, I think, in a quote unquote normal training camp scenario. Anyway, mm-hmm. You'd be talking about, wow, this guy could be a valuable swing tackle or whatever.
Yeah,
and then a running back. Oh, he could be a guy that could factor in. Maybe he's in the return game, or maybe he's a third down back, or what have you. Now they just kind of take an elevated boost with the opt outs. But
right.
Hey, forethought, planning. Whatever that leads you to make sure you have that depth, the Chiefs are very, very astute at doing, which is a good thing to have. They're planning for contingencies, and it's no accident that they ended up with quality depth at two spots that they, you know, didn't know they were going to need it.
Right.
Right. Really. Because they're well thought out and they're well planned. I mean, to have a guy you brought in that can fill in at a running back spot and a versatile offensive lineman that you just happen to need both of those spots now heading to training camp, that's not coincidence. That's just really good planning.
Well, and I think also, too, it's easy to be good at the top of your roster, but you really win championships when you look at, like, you know, 40 to 53 on your roster. And if you have good players at those positions on your roster, and I think that's where Brett Veach excels. I mean, he's a scout true and true, and he loves finding players, and they continue just to find guys that make a big difference that you don't know about. And at the end of the year, you're like, man, where were we without Mike Pinnell this year, right? Like, where was the defensive line without him? Where will the offensive line be without maybe Mike Remmers this year or Lucas Niang? Or where is this offense going to be potentially without Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Who knows what happens with some of these guys that they went out and signed and picked up this offseason and drafted this offseason? So I think that's where Brett Veach really, really excels. And if he can continue to stay great in 40 to 53 on the roster, it's going to be a team that's going to be tough to beat for many years to come.
Very easy job, right?
Yeah, right.
Nail your number one draft picks.
Right.
And then be really good, yeah, like, right, 45 to 53 in your roster.
Right. Yeah, sure it is. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then also do all the stuff in between.
Uh-huh.
Good grief.
Yeah, sure. It's going to be real easy.
Gentlemen,
yeah.
this is why long term's not very long term in sports.
Right.
These are very hard things to do.
That's
a lot to get right.
Yeah. It's easy to get Patrick Mahomes right. Right. It's easy to get, you know, Travis Kelce. It's easy to get Tyrann Mathieu. Oh, they signed Mike Pinnell, and he turned out to be a very key component.
I don't even think it's easy to get Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
And doing all that stuff. I don't find that easy either, Bob.
Right.
So there's a lot that goes into having a success. And boy, that's a tough gig for general managers and company.
Mm-hmm.
Our big story coming up and our conversation with Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. He joins us next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Staff Hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Our conversation with Chiefs head coach Andy Reid coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll also have a special edition of Doting on Mahomes coming up before the half hour is through. But time now for the big story.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
Big story brought to you by Novel Place Senior Living in Overland Park and Blue Springs, a novel choice in senior living. We're just here to help today, okay?
All right.
You and I are here to help.
Okay. Because
I think in this one, we are the voice of reason. Right? Not at all times are you and I the voice of reason. Right? We can acknowledge that.
I think there's some times we can be, and I think this is one of those times.
All right, this is one of those times.
Yeah.
So, if you read headlines today, if you read just headlines today in the world of sports and get freaked out, go ahead. You don't even have to dig a lot deeper. Just go to the next level.
Right. Okay? Go to paragraph two.
Okay. UConn is the first FBS team to cancel its 2020 season because of COVID-19.
I've already gotten texts from friends,
that's from
tweets
for
from
the
people
win.
Freaking out.
Okay.
That, oh, my goodness. Here we go.
Players, quote, would, I'm guessing this is a quote from Randy Etzel, would rather preserve their year of eligibility with an eye to competing under more typical circumstances during the 2021 season. Okay? Great.
Fine.
On the surface, that's great. UConn sending out this tweet. After receiving guidance from state and public health officials and consulting with football student athletes, we've decided that UConn football will not compete on the gridiron this season. That comes directly from the school.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But again, you see the headlines, you go, oh my gosh, we've had a school opt out because of COVID-19. They're not playing because of health and safety.
Can I jump in and say one thing?
Yeah.
And now the rest of the story.
Yes. Now the rest of the story.
The story that is going to be buried because it's not headline grabbing. It's not clickbaitish. It's not freak outish.
It's not. I mean, you can be concerned about health and safety, and that's fine.
Right.
The reason they are not playing football this season is they can't fill out a schedule.
They're not in a conference.
UConn is an independent in football this year.
Right.
They have not aligned with the conference.
They left their conference.
They left their conference.
They didn't have a conference.
Big East in basketball. This was their schedule for the upcoming season.
Okay.
UMass. Still on.
Mm-hmm.
At Illinois.
Okay. Big Ten's only playing conference games.
At Virginia.
ACC's only playing conference games.
Or games at home against non-cons.
Notre Dame.
One non-con.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right. Indiana.
Big Ten not playing conference games.
Gone. Maine. canceled.
They canceled their season.
Ole Miss.
SEC probably playing only conference games.
North Carolina.
Yep. ACC only pretty playing
hard
conference
time,
games.
Pretty hard time in a season recouping that many games.
Right.
They weren't going to be able to fill out a schedule.
Right.
All the Power Five conferences, they have a lot of, obviously, good schools on their list, mm-hmm. right? Are playing conference only schedules. They couldn't make a schedule anyway.
Right.
So unless you're going to play like FCS schools or, you know, play a lower division, whatever.
And they probably presented that to the players. Like, we can play six games against UMass.
And then those schools might not play either.
Rider has a team this year. I don't know.
They couldn't make a schedule. They weren't in a conference. So their decision was pretty easy.
And if you're a player too on UConn, would you rather play like UMass and Rider and Marist and waste a year of eligibility we'll give you a year and you come back and you play North Carolina, you play Ole Miss, and you play, you know, Virginia and all these great schools and great locations and atmospheres and have some fun. Let's go that route. Yeah, they're being canceled as an after effect of COVID, but they're not canceling the season directly because of COVID.
Their schedule was altered due to COVID.
Right.
Not they're fearful of playing because of COVID.
Correct. And that's the big difference. They're not in a conference. They lost all their games because all of the games that they had scheduled were with like Power Five conferences
or other
only
leagues,
playing
or
themselves
other leagues,
or
that,
other
have
leagues that have already canceled. Yeah. So for all the Chicken Littles that are running around out there this morning saying this is just the first of many, no, it's not, because teams that are, because as soon as UConn announced it, 20 minutes later, the Big Ten released their schedule.
Yes, yes, their full schedule. They're playing.
So this is going to be a Chicken Little moment for the I told you so's out there of the world that UConn is canceling football. Haven't heard them cancel basketball yet, have you?
No, I have not.
Just making sure.
Yes, yes. So there's your big story. I'm just like, don't fall for the headline today. Their season's canceled because they couldn't fill out the schedule.
Right.
Let's be crazy about it. We had a chance to catch up with Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
Yes, we did. Exclusively here on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. Of course, all the games this year will be on 106.5 The Wolf, our sister station. Josh will be on the sidelines. He's the new Chiefs sideline reporter. And that's how I started out our conversation with Andy Reid. Hey, coach, you got any rules for Josh down there on the sidelines?
Yeah, so stay out of the coach's way, number one, especially the head coach. Always root for the Chiefs, no matter what.
There you go, Josh.
How about that?
How's that?
That's not bad.
Good news is I don't know anything about anything, so I will not get in the way of the coach.
Do you care if he sits on the bench and like puts his feet up if he gets tired down there in like the third quarter or something like that?
We'll trade him, right? You let me handle it, Bob. Doug got it. We'll get him straightened up.
We will. Hey, what did you do during quarantine? How did you fill the time, kill the time, pass the time? Because I think a lot of us, you know, we found new things to do, new hobbies, different things like that. What was your time like during quarantine where you couldn't get out to the stadium and do your thing?
I'll tell you what, Bob. We worked a full off-season schedule as coaches. And so I was in my basement and really spent most of my time in my basement just working through everything with the coaches and meetings. And then we also had an opportunity to visit with the players as it went on. So we did our off-season scheme evaluations and what we wanted to project for this season coming up play-wise. So we were busy. There wasn't a lot of time to do a whole lot of other than that.
Rick Burkholder and his staff getting you guys kind of to the point where you could kind of come back to the building. I'm guessing he's kind of got early MVP honors for the ability just to get you to where you're at now.
I'll tell you that that's big time true. So Rick and Alan and Rocco, I mean, all the people, Mitch, you know, who sets up our training camp, but he also, he does a little bit of everything in the building. And they took the stadium and transformed it into meeting rooms for us and the dining area. We're using the locker rooms, both visiting and our home locker rooms, to dress the players. And it just was it was quite a project. And so Rick never left Kansas City, or neither did Mitch. And and Rocco and Kirsten, likewise, Krug, who works upstairs in our building here. And those people just really put out. And the players had an opportunity to see it, and I think they were amazed when they saw it. And then for Clark and Mark to distribute the money to us where we could do all of this. This wasn't a cheap project. So to transform everything to where we could have camp here.
Talk with
so my hat goes off to everybody. It's pretty, you know, it's a pretty neat deal that they set up for us.
Talk with Andy Reid here on 610 Sports Radio. And, Coach, I'm ignorant on a lot of things, and I may be ignorant on this, and you may be saying, well, slow your roll on this one a little bit. But I watched the video you guys put out, the 13-minute video, listening to the guys speak last week. Like, I feel really good about where you guys are right now as an organization in handling this COVID crisis that is going on right now. Is that just me being wishful thinking and hoping, or is that really how you feel going into this thing? Because I feel like, man, everything seems great, wonderful, and ready to go.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel that way. I think that it starts with the players, and the players enjoy being around each other, and the coaches enjoy being around the players, and I think vice versa. So these guys they've never been afraid to work, which makes it better for both sides, I think, and I think they respect each other. So for them to come, and then they've been locked up. We've all been locked up. So getting back to doing what we all do in person, I think, has been a good thing. But at the same time, we all know that things, there's a good chance things happen as you go down the road, and that we have to stay flexible, safe and flexible the best we possibly can. And so we're all doing that and working to make sure, you know, we wash our hands, do all those things, wash your hands, social distancing. All the meeting rooms are set up this way. They're those stinking squirt bottles of hand sanitizer everywhere. And then we're all wearing masks. And when we go on the field, you don't have the same regulations there, but you see all the coaches either with a mask or a shield on, and some of the players are wearing masks. So everybody, you know, there's a little bit more flexibility once you get outside and you're rolling. And, you know, these guys have to breathe at the same time because they're running around so much. But they've all made their tests. You know, they get in. And they're tested early in the morning, and nobody's late and all that. So, anyway, that part, I think you read that right. But at the same time, we've got to be flexible. I mean, we're fighting in kind of an invisible deal here. So out there and with the COVID, and so if somebody comes down with it, we've got a good plan for that, and we can Rick is ready to go You know, so I think all in all, the players feel that, the coaches feel that, and feel pretty comfortable with the process.
Heard you say the rookies are on the field with some type of pads. The veterans are kind of working up to that point. How big is it in that transition to get everybody out on the field after kind of doing a whole bunch of Zoom and not in-person work for quite some time? How crucial are the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, so it's good. They have a thing where they can wear padded shirts, which is new. That's a new thing with the new CBA.
Okay.
So, but they can have their helmets on with the padded shirts, and then the next step would be shells, and then pads. You know, and so the rookies were able to do the padded shirt part today, and we started early. We started 8:15 with them, and got them their work in for just about an hour, and short, sweet, but we don't have a lot of numbers. So they were moving around pretty quick and had a beautiful morning to do it with. And then they can filter back in with the veterans and do a little bit of lifting for them. The veterans go for a couple hours of lifting, and then the rookies will get a quick jump on that. And then they can do all the meetings with the veterans also. So, it's a good setup for them. It's a nice little elementary step for them before they merge here with the veteran players on the field with helmets on.
Coach, how difficult maybe for you, but you seemingly handle everything just like nothing ever phases you. But for fans' sake, replacing LDT and Damian Williams, what kind of task is that for you guys this year?
Yeah. Well, you know, my hat goes off to both of them for what they're doing. I think all the players feel that way, and we're all pulling for Larry and his cause, I mean, which is a beautiful thing. And, you know, I mean, you start talking about saving lives and actually doing it. The touchdowns are great, but that must be some kind of rush, right? Yeah. I mean, to save somebody's life. So, so then Damien, I mean, his mother, we're pulling for her and for him to take the time to spend with her, you know, however long that might be. I'm pulling for both of them. So, and so on the other hand, Brett has done a nice job of bringing people in. Our running back room is strong. We've got good numbers there, and we have good players there. So, and then the offensive line is the same way. And Andy, even when Larry was here, Andy's always rotated the offensive linemen. So now with Kaliche and Remmers, he can work the two veteran guys into the mix along with the guys we already have. So and then we have a rookie that's a good player, or at least was in college, and now he has an opportunity to be a good player at this level. So, but Andy works and rotates those guys all through practice, as you've seen over the years. You guys see it at training camp and during our practices during the week. So we're always in a position where if somebody were to get hurt, we've got somebody that has experience, and they're kind of talking the same language when they get in there.
I've never seen a rookie, and this is a quarterbacks included, come into the league like Clyde Edwards-Helaire did, where everybody is already acting like he's a veteran guy that's done it all. Every time you turn on NFL Network or ESPN, man, the praises for this guy are unbelievable. How do you feel about Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming in? It seems like there's a lot of hype and excitement around him.
Yeah, and so I can see why, because of where he came from. You know, it's a national championship team, and I mean, his quarterback wins the Heisman Trophy, and he kind of pointed to Clyde as kind of the guy that made it all go. And I think when you get to know him, he reminds me of Eric Bieniemy when Eric was young. And I had him in Philadelphia towards the end of his career there. But I had competed against him. We all did. We all saw that from Missouri and Kansas when he played at Colorado. But he's wired that same way, where he's mature for his age. He's smart. He's tough. And he shows that. I mean, the veteran players see it, and then he's got skills. So those guys normally, barring injury, they normally work out for you okay. Now, he's lucky he's got other guys that can also play in that room and create competition, and he'll have to stay on top of his game. That's a demanding position in the best league there is in the world. So he'll have to adjust to that, but he sure is wired right to do that, and then we'll just see. He's got to go through this whole process, which is new for him, and we throw a lot at that position, and so he'll have to digest all of that and be able to recall it in a second and get himself out there and then play.
From your perspective, what are the advantages, disadvantages of not playing preseason games this year?
Well, you know, the speed kind of picks up as you go, kind of it ramps up itself with the preseason games and kind of reaches that highest point during the third preseason game. That's what it's been. But a lot of these guys, you know, most of these guys have all been through this and at the college level. So, you got to ramp it up a different way now. And you got to kind of, for the veteran guys, they just have to go back to college and figure out how they did it then. But, you know, the thing that you don't have a chance to do as well is evaluate the young guys that you've brought in. And so there's always two or three of those kids that make it. And whether they make your practice squad or they make your squad, the traveling squad there, that you don't have that extra thing to see of how they handle themselves in games. So that's a little tougher for Brett when he has to make the final cuts on players.
Talking with Andy Reid here on 610 Sports Radio, and we saw your former assistant Doug Peterson, you know, get COVID, and he's going to be out for a couple of weeks. What's the contingency plan for you guys if coaches should get sick?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, things happen. So, I mean, Rick is on top of it, you know, if something happens, then he has a whole program for that, and likewise with players, and we all have to cover up that spot. So, and that's including me. If I have it, then I've got assistant head coach Dave Tobe. He's got to take over and go, and we all know that. And one of the advantages, fellows, of having the staff together for as long as we have been, they can do that, and they can get you up and keep moving forward, and we should be okay there.
Coach, I think we've seen a lot, obviously, change in this league, and Joey Bosa said, I think, one of the more telling things the last couple of days. He says the most responsible team off the field will be the team that wins on the field. How much conversation do you guys have with the players of, hey, we invested all this for you guys to stay healthy here in the facility. Now it's up to you guys to stay healthy outside of the facility.
Yeah, so we've talked about that even during our times when we had the guys on virtual. I had Rick talk to them then, and we've continued on with that. That this is coaches and players now, so it's important that we take care of business when we're away from here. While we're here, we're washing our hands and we're keeping social distance. We're wearing masks and doing all that. We'll do the same thing when you're away. Know who you're hanging with, and stay out of crowded areas. I mean, you know, that's those are the base fundamentals of if you're going to stay safe with this disease. That's the best chance, highest percentage of doing that. But things happen, and you have to roll with them. But we have. You know, I'll push that, and my players committee has done a great job with that, with their positions too. The position coaches, they're on board with it. I mean, I hear players remind each other, you know, if a mask slips down, get your mask up, you know, and so it's they've been very good with that. I've been proud of them for that.
And obviously the most important thing that happened during the offseason is your quarterback bought a part of the baseball team here in town and is now a Major League Baseball owner. I don't really have a question, Andy. I just look at that and I go, unbelievable. Like, what can't this kid do? So I'll just say this to you. Your thoughts on Patrick Mahomes buying some of the Royals.
Or just his offseason in general.
Or just his offseason in general, offseason. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it's great. I mean, he is all in. He's been that way since he came here. He loves Kansas City, loves the people of Kansas City, and they love him. So I think that's kind of what it's all about. It's great to see a young guy with a perspective on things that he has. He's a good human being, and we know what kind of football player he is, but he's a good human being. He cares about this city, and that's very important. And it kind of falls into line with the Hunt family and how they and what regard they hold Kansas City in their mind. So I think it fits right in all the way around. It's a good marriage between him, the organization, and the city.
Did he talk to you before he did that and say, hey, Coach, I'm thinking about buying part of the Royals? I mean, and if he did, what was that conversation like?
I knew he was doing it. Back when we were, working with the contract part of it, I had an idea that he was doing. I didn't talk to him about it, but I knew what was going on. So I didn't have anything to say other than, listen, now, you know, pressure's on. You got to make sure we have good pitchers and make sure, we do that in the, so.
is there
he ought to hold you a good seat, I think, at some point,
too. I would imagine
not that you can't get a good seat there, but.
That's right. Extra peanuts, a little soda, and make sure it's a comfortable seat. I mean, I'm gonna need that. Yeah, I'm with you.
Is there something you look at in your life like Mahomes is doing right now with getting involved in everything, buying part of a baseball team? Is there something out there that you would like to say, you know what? I kind of own that too. I'm part owner of this, or I got a little stake in that. Is there anything out there that you would love to be part of?
Well, there are a couple barbecue places that I would. I mean, I love those places, but I haven't gone there yet. You know, I haven't gone and done that. But I'm a coach, and he makes a couple more dollars than I do. So he can invest in all those things, and I think it's great for him. I think it's great for this city. But I'm not telling you my love for Kansas City is any less. I mean, I love it here, and I love the people here, and I think I work for a great organization. So, and I'm a big Royals fan. So I've got to know a couple of coaches that have been managers here, skippers here, and they do a great job with that organization.
Has this experience in Kansas City been better than you could have ever expected? I mean, save winning the Super Bowl, obviously, but just the whole overall experience of being the coach of the Chiefs.
Well, that's probably a yes or no type answer. And I'm not sure there's a right answer to it, but I've been in the league so long that I knew how the Hunt family and how Lamar did it, and I know how Clark does it, and the respect. I could see the respect that the different owners had for Clark as they did for Lamar, and so I didn't. In the back of your mind, you have these meetings where coaches and owners meet at the owner meetings, and it's kind of that exclusive group of coach and owner. And so you sit there and you hear people talk and how they think. And I mean, the Hunt family, I went, boy, if anything ever happened in Philadelphia, I would love to work for the Hunt family. I mean, they seem to do it the right way. And so that was without being in the building. And now that I've been in the building, I feel that even more so. So they go about it the right way. They care about people and that, and sincerely care about you. They're just not blowing smoke there. So it's a neat deal. Very family oriented, which I appreciate. So.
Well, Coach, we're excited to get this season started. Obviously, we're excited to see you guys, you know, run it back as everybody's talking about, because we want to be back there next year for back-to-back championships and raising two banners in front of a full stadium next year when we get this thing going. So you got it, because we feel bad, man. It's like you guys won the Super Bowl and haven't really got a chance to celebrate it all that much, you know.
Well, we're okay. No, don't worry, we're okay. We've got our work cut out for us. Now we'll keep grinding and see if we can't do that. We sure enjoyed having all the fans down there in Miami. So we're going to try to do our best to get back and do that.
Chiefs head coach Andy Reid joining us for a conversation right here on your new official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
And you, as the sideline reporter, one thing he did not mention, no leaning on the fence.
I think that goes without saying.
That's right.
I think we took care of that about
7 years ago.
Yeah.
Eight years ago now.
Yeah.
No leaning on the fence, Josh.
Yeah. Yeah. That was still one of the most amazing experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I was 100 some yards away from them.
Right. Refresh the memory of folks.
Apparently a rule of his has always been no kneeling, mm-hmm.
no leaning, not
kneeling in that capacity.
Right.
But
no sitting on your ass and practice.
Practice is happening.
Right.
Be up, be engaged.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it goes for the.
Don't be a slacker.
Goes for the players and everything else.
Your father was a slacker.
Right. Right. So apparently this applied to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I do vaguely remember having like the directive given to us from PR.
I don't remember that at all.
I swear I vaguely remember, but I didn't think anything of it. So one day at practice, we're all standing around watching practice. And we happen to be, we're always lined up near the fence. And so I remember kind of just leaning back against the fence, like real light.
Foot up,
there might
busted
have been,
out of soda.
There might have been a foot like.
I think you even had one of those like portable chairs that you push down on the ground and sat
definitely
on.
Definitely not to that extent. But it was not even, it wasn't like a full lean. It was just kind of, you know, not even realizing I'd done it.
Right.
And out of the corner of my eye, I see Andy Reid spin around, and he's waving his finger, like over in our direction, saying something.
You're
can't
waving hear. Back. Hey, how you doing, Coach? Good to see you.
And then I see him kind of dispatching somebody, like go. And somebody comes running over, and we don't know what's going on. So Coach says, "Don't lean on the fence.
Hey, we're going to stop practice till you get off the fence." What?
And I was easily 100 yards away, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
And they're conducting a drill. Like, he should have not noticed me at all.
Right.
At all. And totally did.
But he notices everything. I heard a story yesterday about a former player.
He pays attention to all kinds of stuff.
Right. I heard a story about a former player the other day that didn't have his shirt tucked in properly at practice. And Andy stopped practice and made him properly tuck in his shirt. And so you look at those things and you go, why do they matter?
Just details.
But it's little details like that that add up to big things. And when you take care of the little things, good things happen in a big way. So get your lazy ass off the fence.
I will not lean on the fence ever.
I don't want to see you on TV with like your elbows up on the bench or you're resting on the water cooler.
No chance.
You're leaning against the wall.
I will be paying attention.
There's not going to be a lot of people there this year, Josh. So you better be careful
what
you do. Are you sure you're ready for this?
No, I'm not. I'm not sure I'm ready for this.
Time for another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
It's been crazy, man. It's been crazy seeing him out of practice, like just casually throwing the ball 70 yards, just like flicking it. That's been crazy to see. He's got a lot of talent and his speed as well, you know, just like on option plays and stuff like that. Also his intelligence, him, all the different cadences that he rattles through and checking the audibles and stuff like that. For a guy that young to have command like that, his confidence is pretty impressive for how young he is. That's been pretty cool to see firsthand. Close.
That was another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
It was. New offensive lineman, Kelechi Osemele, saying, Pat just like throws 70 yarders, no big deal.
Casually throwing 70 yard passes in practice.
That's correct.
Okay.
So he's working on his game. What he's saying.
Casually throwing 70-yard passes in practice.
It's a guy who's not been there before, so, you know, he's seeing this for the first time, too, and freaking out. Seth Hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Doesn't it, though, get you excited even still hearing stuff like that? Even though we've heard some of these stories, like, everyone just gets you more excited about Patrick
Mahomes. This guy's new. He's like, you know what just happened? And they're like, yeah, whatever, we've seen this before. Yeah,
so that's like, Tuesday, man.
But I saw a 7-year pass. Like, yeah.
Yeah, great. That's Tuesday.
Yeah, that happens. The rally falls short. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.